It is time for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. The series is brought to us by support from the members of the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. They're inviting you to join the local business leader community to get connected, stay informed, and drive progress. Visit carolinachamber.org to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership today. I'm joined on the phone, as I am most Thursdays, by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. We've got a lot to catch up on. Pam, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to do it. I want to make sure people hear about 4th of July. We've got our plans together. We're going to be back at Southern Community Park. This will be a smaller scale event because we didn't have as much time, but the staff's been working diligently to pull it all together, and we want people to come celebrate safely. So we're excited to be able to offer this event, and then next year it'll be back to full-scale 4th of July celebrating. So I want to make sure people hear that and know we're trying to send it out on all of the channels to make sure that the community is aware that we're going to be celebrating 4th of July.
Yeah, this is kind of a breaking news announcement as well. I think you are kind of confirming it publicly. It's probably going to be a little different from what people might remember it being either back in Keenan or how it was in 2019 at Southern Community Park. So it sounds like just a fireworks show, but
right.
I mean, it should still be a great time. And it's really one of the first major events that the town's being able to kind of put on for the public since the pandemic began.
And we're happy to do so, and Southern Village is excited, and there'll be vendors and all kinds of people part of Southern Village atmosphere, but the park will be there, and we aren't going to have like music and entertainment, but we'll have the fireworks show, and we're very pleased we can do this. We were waiting for confirmation, and we were excited when we were allowed to have this big outdoor event, but we're still asking people to be safe and remember to keep safety in mind, as we know that a lot of children aren't vaccinated yet. So I know that some people will feel more comfortable wearing masks, and that's their right. The data and the science say it's harder to spread the virus outside, but we want to respect people's right to make their own safety decisions.
Well, it does certainly seem like it will be another step toward returning to a form of normal. Being able to hear and see some fireworks on July 4th should be a great, great time. Well, we've got some more stuff to catch up on in terms of holidays, but I do want to touch on last night's town council meeting. We've been talking about it in the show so far today, but obviously a busy agenda, and part of that was a pretty big discussion on the Aura project, where
right.
a vote was held, but we're going to be seeing the project again next week.
We are going to be seeing it. On a first reading, we require a supermajority, which would have been 6 votes. We had 5 votes in favor, so council was showing its preference for this project. I will say everyone has been working towards a better outcome, but development at this corner is challenging. It has to balance existing traffic condition and desired character on Estes Drive with the fact that this is going to be a bus rapid transit node where we can support density and where we've said we want to have density and support climate action goals. So we've listened to concerns from the community. We've gotten this plan much better, and it will come back next Wednesday where it just needs a simple majority vote of the council.
You were one of the 3 people to vote against it this time around, and you, like many of the other town council members, said that it was a project where you kind of have conflicting or at least mixed feelings on it because of what is being proposed and partially where it is. Can you expand on that a little bit more in terms of why you decided to vote that way last night? Because it does seem like a lot of people have just kind of mixed feelings on it.
And I think that's what it comes down to. I will tell you that I have very much lived experience of being on Estes Drive. My children went to Phillips Middle School. The concern about, are these traffic mitigations really going to work? Our modeler says they're going to, but it's hard to know, and it's hard to understand that and feel like that's really going to solve the problem that we have. It's one of our major east-west connectors, too, and so there's a lot of people that travel many times during the day along this route. I spent a great deal of time talking with DOT at the state level to try to say, hey, I know our traffic numbers don't warrant it, which I wish, you know, I think they do, but they don't. But for me, it came down to pedestrian safety. We're putting in these multimodal paths, these bike lanes, and I know how people fly in and out of the driveways on the school siding and probably Aura with the left turns and people coming in and out of there. I'm really, really concerned if we don't have a traffic light and we don't have a guarantee of that traffic light, that someone's going to get hurt as people are trying to get in and out quickly as the traffic situation. People don't always act the way a model says they're going to act either. So it's a, you know, I've seen people speed along Estes Drive. I have huge concerns. And then the frontage on Estes Drive of this project is not really within context of the rest of the street. So that for me was concerning. If that context had been on MLK, I would have felt a lot more comfortable. But again, there's a lot of positives with this project. I made long list of pros and cons and what do we really expect to get here. I do like it much better than a proposed just big old apartment Texas donut style building there. I think that this is a better project than that. We also had concerns about stormwater. We're all learning so much more about how stormwater behaves and what the effects are downstream. We got a great deal of analysis, and again, though, it's all engineering and probabilities and things like that, so just more concerns. But for me, it came down to safety and the frontage and the traffic concerns, which I know the community has as well. And we're looking at all this, and yet what is this is the best proposal we've seen come to that corner. I do like the fact that I said that it has some retail component to it, so that it's not just a residential. There's reasons for people from the community to want to go here. The programmable space in the middle is a big plus in my mind, the affordable housing units. So again, it came down to pluses and minuses and what really works here. And for me, the safety thing with the light, that light will make a huge difference for safe crossing of that street, because people aren't going to go as often to the intersection and cross 5 to 6 lanes going across from the north side of Estes to the south side to get to the Y and other places. It's just they're going to want to cross where it's 2 lanes and two, you know, sidewalk areas. So, again, every council member was really working hard how to make this project better so it felt better for the community. And we have said we want density along the MLK corridor. It's one of our BRT corridor.
Well, once again, we're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, townofchapelhill.org, the website to go to where you can find last night's council meeting, lots of details on the Aura development. And as we said, kind of off the top here, we're going to be seeing that again next week for another reading and likely another vote. Something else that happened at the town council meeting last night, the council members were able to honor CHCCS Teacher of the Year and North Carolina Teacher of the Year, Eugenia Floyd.
That was wonderful. What a dynamic teacher. And she was the biggest smile I've ever seen on a teacher. And so proud of a homegrown teacher. She went to East Chapel Hill with our own Alan Boynsey and has raised up through the school system here and was a teacher assistant. Then she earned her master's degree. And she does such an amazing job of helping her students learn how to connect to the world. We're just so proud of her and excited to honor her and know that she'll be doing great work this next year. She tours and helps other teachers be inspired to do more with their students, and just couldn't be prouder.
Well, we mentioned July 4th kind of off the top. I do want to turn back now to another holiday that is set to be recognized in several ways in our community this weekend, and it sounds like it's going to be a federal holiday very, very shortly. Biden hasn't already signed it into effect. That, of course, is Juneteenth. We've been talking about different events kind of this whole week as we're getting folks ready to celebrate this weekend. I just wanted to check with you, Pam, any events that you want to highlight and any emotions surrounding the town officially recognizing and truly being able to celebrate together on Juneteenth for the first time.
I love it when we can do things together. I love it that our staffs have been really and local groups have been engaged in wanting to make this a very special event. The virtual video premiere tomorrow night at 7 p.m. will feature our poet laureates from both Chapel Hill and Carrboro, a host of other local entertainers and dignitaries. It's going to be well worth watching. There'll be art and readings and spoken word, and a lot of it will be virtual, but a lot of it will be in person. So we really want people to understand why we're celebrating and how important it is to acknowledge our past and to celebrate this event in meaningful ways. And so very, very excited about that. And look forward to building on those kinds of things and how incredible, you know, again, Orange County jurisdictions ahead of the curve, federal government catching up.
That's
but
right.
We love that they're going to be doing this as well. It's important for our entire country.
Once again, townofchapelhill.org, a place you can go to find several events happening around Chapel Hill. You can head to their community arts and culture website as well that has even more details. We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. And Pam, we've got a little bit more time. Anything else that you want to highlight for the community that is coming up in the next little bit? I know it's moving fast and furious at the local government level for the town council, as you guys have a few more meetings before a summer break.
We had to add 3 additional meetings this month to finish up this calendar. It's just an amazing amount of items, and the staff has been working so hard. Your council members have been working so hard to be very thoughtful about these decisions that are facing us. We appreciate public input. We are working around the clock and trying to get these things moved along. I will say we were proud last night to discuss our racial equity update. We learned that our community stands out, and we're the only one that's working cross-jurisdictional with GARE planning in the country, and we recently hired a racial equity coordinator. We want to make real progress in racial equity and then build on that for all kinds of other equity, and it's important. We want to dismantle institutional racism. We want everyone in our community to thrive, regardless of their race or gender or any other circumstance. So we're working really hard, and we're proud that we hold this value dear and that we're spending our resources wanting to make good progress. We also talked about short-term rentals last night. They're coming back for a vote this coming week. What does that look like for our community? And again, we did close the public hearing, but people can still email us before the meeting. We're looking to make some kind of decision on how we move forward and what that looks like. And then we have 3 concept plans on for Monday night. We have St. Paul's Village, which I'm very excited has finally come forward over there in the Rogers Eubank neighborhood area. And then we have J Street for an affordable housing proposal. And then we have 101 East Rosemary, which is a new proposal for residential downtown next to our proposed parking deck. So that's going on. We have the mobile vaccination team from the county really working hard to get anyone who's homebound or who can't get to a vaccination site to get out to them. We're doing all we can, as I said, to balance keeping people safe, getting them vaccinated, keeping our businesses running, and getting people out to enjoy our businesses and, as you said, get back to a new normal. We want people out safely, but we want people to be able to be back in their own community and feel like they're part of a community instead of isolated. So a lot of things going on, and we'll continue to go on. We did move the U-Place evidential hearing to June 28th. We have a little more work to do on that, and it didn't seem to fit. We couldn't get it on for the 23rd. Last night it was supposed to be on that agenda, so we have a lot on the June 23rd meeting. So lots going on, and then there won't be council meetings in July or most of August. So time to take a deep breath and get ready for the fall.
Absolutely. Time to reset, and you know, like the Chapel Hill Town Council, we could continue talking for quite a while because there's so much to catch up on, Pam. But once again, the place to go, townofchapelhill.org, to learn more about pretty much everything we have been talking here. And Pam, look forward to having you on again next week. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm excited. And hopefully I can tell you that we approved the Putt-Putt Fun Center in North Chapel Hill.
Looking forward to it.
It's on the agenda next week.
There's all kinds of stuff that we will be keeping an eye on for next week's meeting.
All right. You take care, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you very much, Pam.